Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Pocket Rocket podcast. And today I am joined for the first time by a bodybuilding couple. I have Jess Garrington and Jack McDonald on the podcast. Hello guys, how are you?
Hello, very well, thank you.
All good, thank you for having us.
So, as I just kind of said to you, but just to fill everyone else in, one of the reasons I wanted to invite you two on the podcast is, other than the fact you're hashtag couple goals, the support that you offer each other is not something you see very often within the industry, even outside of bodybuilding and fitness. Whatever someone's kind of passion is, you don't often see people being quite so supportive of each other. You could take it from the fact that you two kind of train together occasionally, and you've got Jess, you're on the hip thrust, and Jack's kind of waving his hand like, come on then, get him out. Like making the fact that you've got 6.5 plates aside look like child's play. But also down to then the fact that when Jack, as I touched on a minute ago, when Jess was on stage in Spain, you had her phone and you were like answering all of us like we'd never met, like properly. And you're like just chatting to us all and giving us updates. Whereas I think there's a lot of guys out there that'd be like, no, I'm not going to chat to all of your friends all day.
Hashtag boyfriends of Instagram.
Yeah, the man behind the lens. But also, what some people may not know, Jack, is you are very much into the bodybuilding scene yourself. And am I right in saying you're going to be making an appearance sometime soon?
Potentially, yeah. I think I owe it to myself to finish the job and actually get on the stage. So yeah, potentially next year.
Literally, I just want him. We were only talking about it today, actually, and I was like, "Come on, next year, just do it, finish it off."
Yeah.
So you say like finish the job off, then? So, and Jess's face. Obviously, we're just doing the audio for the podcast, but Jess's face was kind of like, "Yeah, finally!" Like that's kind of what it's the impression I got. So talk to us about that then. Like how have you kind of got to the point where you're saying, I need to finally finish the job? Like, where did it start?
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually started bodybuilding as in like the all-encompassing bodybuilding before Jess. It wasn't till after that you actually picked it up because I said, listen, you need to get into this. It's insane. So I started with Cal Raystrick back in 2018 when he wasn't the Muscle Mentors. He was CR Physique. So I was with Cal for years, did a mini cut. And then really had like a solid 18, 24 month push up with the aim of competing. So within that push up on 72 pounds, went from like 84 kilos to nearly 120 kilos.
Wow.
And I was ready to compete. And then COVID hit. And then pretty much throughout sort of that period where COVID first hit, March 2019, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started a new job and my priorities completely shifted into corporate. So when I say finish the job, it really is like I owe it to myself to get on the stage and to just give it a good crack.
When it came to like home training, it was something that you'll be the same, Hannah. Like we could make do with the weights we had, and it wasn't ideal at all, but we could make do. There was no way that Jack was going to progress with the weights that we had. So you just said, didn't you? Like you called it then and there, like, I'm not stepping on stage this year.
Yeah.
It was your first time you wanted to go all in.
For the first time, I didn't want it to be suboptimal.
How did that make you feel?
No, it was okay. Cause I mean, even when I was with Cal, like it was getting to the point where it was very difficult to be 100% adherent with full commitment to my job, basically. And I knew that, you know, just coming into a new company, coming into a new sector, I wanted to give that 100% because at the end of the day, bodybuilding's not paying me X amount of money. So it was a priority shift that had to be done. But I would still love to give it a good crack now that routine is firmly in place.
And that's kind of an interesting thing as well then that I was running through my head as you were talking about that is I don't know how it would feel. For one, COVID hit and that opportunity to be taken away from you after working towards something for such a long time. But two, then to watch your partner just go and do it anyway when you took a step back. How How did you feel watching Jess do something that you thought you were going to be doing?
I actually didn't feel bad at all, to be honest. Like, I was sad that I didn't get the chance to compete, but then I was thinking, okay, well, when I actually compete, I'm going to be twice the size. So I just took that as like another opportunity, like, yeah, have a little mini cut and then just put another, you know, 50 pounds on, it'd be fine. I don't mind looking, you know, pudgy. It's fine. But going back to Jess competing, it's like, I get such a buzz out of it. I'm like, I actually did a YouTube video. Please don't go and watch it because it's horrendous. But
everyone immediately knows
Jess,
on YouTube.
Jess's first show, the PCA.
Back in 2018.
Back in 2018. And you can hear my voice. It's like cracked. I was so nervous. I still
the
get
the camera's
mad.
Like shaking so much.
It's insane. I'll send you the link. You can watch it. But yeah, I mean, I get such a buzz when she competes. It's not like it's, you know, I wish I was up there. It's more so like, give it hell, go for it.
And for those people that don't like follow you guys or aren't friends with you, it's not like you've been together a few years, is it?
No.
Wait, is it 10, 11 years now?
10. We just hit our 10-year anniversary on the 23rd of December.
We did, that's mad.
So we met when we were 18. I think you were 19, weren't you?
I was 19. We met at uni, basically.
And Jack, when did you get into bodybuilding then?
Oh, post-uni. Ever since, you know, the age of 12 up until about 25, I was basketball the whole time. Played internationally, played pretty much at the highest level in the UK. And then after uni, again, it was very difficult to try and switch into the working world and keep up training five times a week, like five sessions, then weekends away, sometimes playing in London, sometimes playing in Leeds. You know, it's a big commitment. Mm. But I didn't want to step down in competition, so I just switched. We bounced around, didn't we? We went into CrossFit. We did all sorts.
Yeah, did a little go at CrossFit.
Had a little go at everything, and then we just found our home within like physique development, really.
Which is mad because we've both only ever done team sports before.
Team sports, yeah.
But so, you know, you're going from a team sport to the most probably
isolating
sport going, yeah, but for sure. Both love it.
Well, it's not an isolating sport when you've got each other, is it?
Well, you say that, it really is. I think we don't train together. Like we eat separate meals. We obviously are together and like in the same presence, but it is very much like, this is what you're doing, this is what I'm doing.
Even when we both go to the gym for 6 a.m, we go in separate cars.
Mm.
What?
I know. And the gym's like at least 20 minutes away.
Yeah,
because sure. Jack, well,
that poor
our sessions are just different times. Mine are always longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes I'm out on the road as well, where I've got to leave at a certain time. So
have you ever tried being training partners?
Yeah, we've done it a few times.
Yeah,
but if we have to, like, we've done it a few times, or when we are training, like, I'll always ask Jack for a spot. Mm-hmm. So I mean, mm-hmm, obviously you don't ask me. Well, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it just works. We're not that kind of couple that have to do everything together. Mm-hmm. In fact, we work quite well when we
independent
aren't together.
Yeah, I said this in, actually, we just had our 10-year anniversary, and I did a little post. It was like, you can't rely on any one person for your happiness. You have to be independently happy, independently driven and motivated. And then when you get two individuals like that and you come together, you're both, you're not relying on each other. It's just much better. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's why it works so well.
We're not like, we don't put pressure on each other to, like, I know some couples will, you know, do everything together, and that obviously works for them. But like, my sessions are very different to Jack's.
Yeah.
And he has he has one of our friends at the gym that he trains with. So I'm normally all by myself, but I don't mind. You're probably the same. You like training by yourself.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The RBF.
I have trained alone for years. I literally just messaged one of my friends today to selfishly be like, can I train push with you? Because I need an upper body that's better, and you're a strong guy, and we train similarly. So it's all about me, but can I train with you? And he was like, yeah, that's fine.
Just a one-off though.
I said to him, I was like, I just want to do my push sessions with you. I don't want to do anything else. He was like, yeah, that's cool.
And I don't want to do any of your session. We just do what's written on my book.
That's the thing, isn't it? You've got to find that balance between, especially in a male and female bodybuilder, there's quite a stark difference between what you're looking to achieve. Like,
yeah.
Jack, I can't imagine you're going to be prime focus hip thrust.
No, yeah, I would quite happily concede that you could probably out hip thrust most men in the gym, including myself.
Absolutely. So how is, if we're on the topic of Diary of a Bodybuilder or bodybuilders, how is training and off season going for you both?
Yeah, it's not going too bad. I did have a small road bump where I cycled the length of the country in September.
Yeah, that was unreal. I remember that.
So I cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats for charity in September. Which
how
was
much muscle did you?
Well, I don't know about muscle. Up. It took me a while to get back to where I was, but I've surpassed where I was now. So, I mean, if anything, that's a testament to the human body, the way that it adapts. Like, I looked like a crackhead when I came home. I lost nearly 2 stone. My resting heart rate was like in the 40s, so it was ridiculous. Massive adaptation, shift in training.
Wow.
I was still bodybuilding beforehand, by the way. But yeah, back on track. And if anything, it sort of reignited my appetite. Do you remember how bad my appetite was before I went away?
Yeah.
Came back and it's been flying ever since. So from an off-season side of things, I'm quite happy. Have I made all of the progress possible since COVID hit? Probably not. But have I had some life experiences that I'll never forget? Yes. So that's more than enough for me.
Yeah. I went through a bit of a rut about a couple of months ago, didn't I, where I just lost all my motivation. I really don't know. I think it was like, I'm trying to think what it was. I can't remember what caused it, but all of a sudden it's just flipped. And I think now I'm eating more, I'm training, well, I was always training consistently, but I am purposely going into my sessions each day, trying to really blow up the logbook, like really focus on progressing. So I think I got in a bit of a rut where I was just matching. And when I know that needs to happen every few, like, you know, you can't be progressing every week, but when it's been, what, 4 or 5 weeks and you're just not progressing, I ended up having to like switch out some exercises that are just, was completely plateaued with, and it's definitely helped.
Do you feel like you were going into the session just thinking, I'm going through the motions?
100%, yeah. For me, it was like, I know we train like at 6 a.m. in the morning, but it was like, I know if I don't train, I will feel like rubbish. So let's just go. And it was almost like prep mode, like, let's go tick that box, because then I've done it. But you know, I mean, I'm deep in off season now. There's no reason why I should be feeling like that. Mm. So yeah, but we've like upped food, and just, I don't know if we really want know where it came from, but I think everyone goes through it. You know, everyone goes through that bit of a lull.
Yeah.
And I think when you put so much pressure on yourself that you're in this deep off season, you should be doing this, and you know, you should, all the food should be doing this, and weight should be flying up, and it's not happening. I think it can get you a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, the last 6 weeks your training's been noticeably better, hasn't it?
Yeah,
you seem laser focused, I think.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on why. Just happens, I guess.
Well, if you're saying it was a couple of months ago, dare I suggest that potentially it was the height of the competitive season. And when your Instagram feed is full of people doing what you're not doing,
yeah,
it was what you were doing the year before, even if you don't realize it, probably inadvertently is kind of in your thought process, like, well, when I next step back on stage, am I going to be better? Am I going to improve what I want to? And if you're then having a couple of sessions where you don't increase on a movement, those kind of doubts probably creep in a little bit more as well.
100%. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And I know I spoke with Jasmine Julia Jeffries around that time as well. And she said the best thing you can do is, obviously you've got your friends on Instagram, but unfollow all those people that you don't really know that well that are just shredded, because it becomes the norm then when you are scrolling, and you do feel, you know, oh, I should be making the most of, you know, because these are the girls I'm going to be against next year, and will I look better than them? And I think it is a lot of comparing. Like, and I'm the worst person for that. No matter what time of year it is, prep or off season, I am the worst for comparing myself to other people.
Why do you think that is?
I've just never had the, like, never had the confidence, I think. And I, for people that don't know me, probably that see me like you know, with, you know, with my other friends and bikini friends probably think that I really am, but I am far from that, aren't I? You will vouch for me on that one. Like, I am the worst at comparing myself and being like, oh, but that this person's competing and they look like this. And I know people are different, but no matter how many years down the line I'm competing, I think I will always do it.
Do you know what I think about though? When those kind of times where it slips into my head and think, God, they look really good. I think, oh, I really don't want them to be at my show. I think they could fuck it up and eat a garlic bread.
Mm. Yeah.
They could, in their peak week or a couple of weeks before, they could fuck it up and eat a garlic bread.
And you always think of a garlic bread?
Just think of like the most calorific thing that come into my mind. And at that moment when you were just talking, I just imagined an oven baked garlic bread and thought, what if they just had a meltdown one night and they did it? Because what you can do is you can control the controllable. And you know that you're not going to eat off plan. You know that you are going to tick all those boxes. And as we've seen countless times, sometimes people walk on the stage and you're like, they look really good on Instagram. And
yeah, you're 100%.
What happened? Yeah.
Do you know what I find crazy? And I find it crazy how you know. It'd be the same for yourself, Hannah, how you know exactly who's competing at what shows. Like, I don't follow that many people on Instagram, nor have I competed, fair enough. But I don't know all of these people. I don't know who's going to be where, what show.
People talk and you find out.
It's so specific. You're like, yeah, this person's competing in 3 weeks and this person's competing. It's like,
yeah, that'll be different. If you competed, you would know.
The more you do it. So I've, Jess, how long have you been in it? It's 2018 to now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's about the same for me. And every year, you know, a few more people. And then a few more people who tell you about a few more people. And before you know it, you've got everyone's itinerary and you're going, I didn't even ask. Yeah. I don't want to know.
Wow, category H is big today.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's height to an inch, literally.
Yep.
Madness, isn't it? It's not a sport like it.
No.
No.
It is mad.
Do you think that, just floating out there, devil's advocate, do you think there's a big difference between the male categories and the female categories? Do you think that in your experience it's as gossipy, I suppose you could say, for the men?
I think it definitely is. You do hear gossip. I think it's that type of sport where it is such a niche sport that a lot of people know a lot of people's business. But what I would say is I know a lot of male competitors that they wouldn't have a clue who they're stepping on stage next to. Not a number of people. I know they might know one or two people competing at a show, but not to the level that, you know, yourself and your friends know who's competing.
I think it also helps that I will go to these different posing seminars and like there's people I spoke to at the Arnold's, for example, that I didn't know. And I've found out one of them actually lives pretty local. So I'm going to train with her. But going to the Arnold's and going around speaking to people, going to different posing seminars, you just meet people, don't you? And then you get chatting and you find out that they're competing on this date, but their friend who's competing on this date, and then you follow them on Instagram and shoot yourself up.
And like, it coming back to what you guys said earlier about it being quite an insular existence, to then have this stark comparison now where you're like, well, everyone knows everyone. So it's weird, isn't it, how it can be so sociable in some respects, but it also gets to a point, which I'm sure you've both had, where you just go, oh my God, I just need tunnel vision. Everyone leave me alone. I just want to do this on my own. And then I'll talk to you in like 2 weeks. Just give me 2 weeks to be really selfish.
I will hold my hands up, but I am the worst when it comes to that. And it will be interesting prepping next year living with you, because I went through a stage where my post-workout meal, if I had family around or anything, I would take that into my bedroom and everyone in my household knew, do not interrupt Jess while she's eating her oats, because I am very anal anyway. And like borderline OCD with the way I eat my food anyway. Like, so I eat my foods in certain orders. I'm a bit weird like that. And God forbid anyone speaks to me while I am eating my post-workout meal when I'm on prep.
In prep, you're robot mode. And I think if we are talking about like, you know, couples bodybuilding, her first prep was actually pretty difficult for me. Getting used to it, you know, never ever seen someone prep or been with someone that prepped. But the second prep was much easier, I found, because I knew what to expect.
Yeah.
But what was so difficult about the first one?
Well, I think it's very different going from like an off season. To prep, of course. But then imagine like the person you see the most, you see them in off season, you can, you know, have off plan meals and it's a bit more relaxed, even though she was all in. Then going to prep, I'd never seen a prep in that, you know, it was still very early on in my own sort of bodybuilding career. I'd never seen a prep in that level of intensity, especially never been with someone that the amount of time. Mm. So the first one I was like, oh my God, is this what it's like? This is insane. She's a robot. You are a robot in prep.
I mean, you've got to be, haven't you?
But the second time around, it's like, okay, this all makes complete sense. I saw this exact same thing last year. So you have to be that way.
Did Jess display the same behaviours in both her first and second prep?
Yeah. I mean, she got inside out peeled twice.
Do you mean behaviours like that, or do you mean like the way I acted and social occasions like that?
The way you acted and the things that you struggled with the first time, Jack, did you struggle with them the second time but go, oh yeah, I remember this from last year? Or was it like different things?
No, I think you actually got better with social occasions the second time round. We had your brother's wedding, which you dealt with. Like, it's just, I think you just get better at dealing with them. The first time round, it was like, okay, this is like a shock. It's like the first time you see everything. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Even like work social events. I remember you going away to work social events and being so stressed. But the second time round, it's like, okay, you were still stressed about it and it's going to be tough watching people eat their meals and whatever, but you dealt with it before, so you're a bit calmer.
Yeah.
So if I say the biggest difference was like, you were much calmer last year compared to the first time.
I think my food was a lot higher as well.
Yeah, your food was definitely a lot higher. Yeah, that's true.
And Jess, how do you feel about Jack prepping next year, or possibly prepping next year and being around him in a prep scenario?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I really want him to do it. It will be, neither of us are blind to the fact that it's going to be difficult, and there will be difficult days, I'm sure, for both of us. But equally, I think, you know, there'll be days where I'm feeling good and he's feeling down, and I can spur him on and vice versa. During my preps, I did rely on Jack a lot and he did so much for me, like, even little things. I remember one time I had to go and I saved my session to the end of the day and I really didn't want to do it. And he was like, look, you need to get your session in. He drove me and was just like my weights boy for the session. it's going to be an experience. But
yeah, I think to be fair, I learned quite a lot off you the last two preps. Like I have done a diet before and I'll hold my hands up and say that I've been miserable and not the best to be around. But I've seen you in the depths of prep. And you're just like, you know what? This is my choice.
Yeah, that's what you got to remind yourself of. You are choosing. If you really want to go into the fridge and eat a cake or a biscuit or something, go and do it. If you want to order a pizza, there's nothing stopping you. Mm. You're choosing it. You can stop it at any point.
And I think in that same token, the industry has got a lot better the last 2 years for that. Like a lot more people are saying, you know, don't be a dick to your family. Don't be a dick to your friends, your work colleagues. Like, this is actually your choice. You're choosing to do it. Whereas I think a few years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case. You would see a lot of people in the gym, you know, extremely frustrated on prep and isolated.
Everyone will also turn around and being like, yeah, that's all right to me, Moody, you're on prep. Exactly. Whereas like you say, a lot more people are like, it's your choice. If you're miserable, yeah, don't do
exactly.
it.
And exactly. I think at the end of the day, it's we don't all do this for show day. That day is, for me, yes, it's so fun and exciting and I absolutely love it. But the actual show day before you're getting in, it's so long. Everyone's so tired. Everyone, especially in bikini, we're at the end of the day. It's been a long day. We all do it for the whole experience. Mm-hmm. So if you're just going to be miserable for the whole of it and, you know, just focus on all the food you can't eat, then it's not going to be a very pleasant experience. Mm. And there's a reason that we all do it again, isn't there? There's a reason that we didn't just do it once and we never did it again. So clearly, there is something enjoyable about it.
I think think I'm with you on the, I like the process, and yes, show day's fun, but it's the lead up to it, because once show day's done, you're like, oh, okay. Right. So do I go back to doing what I was doing before, or am I an arsehole with food because that's what society's telling me to be? Or like, what do I do now? I think I'm going to like cast a little, what's the word? I'm going to read the future, and I'm going to say, if you two are prepping together, put the prep side of thing behind it, because that's going to be very much down to how you two handle it. But that post-show period, having someone there with you, you two doing that post-show bit together, I think will make that a little bit easier potentially. Either you're going to go the best way possible and control it and have a nice time and off plan here and there and kill the reverse, or you're both going to go, let's be assholes together. And then it's going to be like,
I think that I was going to say the one thing that is hard about post comp, and you're obviously experienced, but I will help being together, is I think you get so excited about after the competition, you, all your friends are, oh, so now we can go and do this and that. And you're like, yeah. And then it comes to it. And actually you don't want to do that. I don't want to be an asshole and go out for a bottomless brunch the day, you know, 2 days later, and then go arrange to go for dinner with you and dessert with you. Because although at the time you plan it and you're like, yeah, that'll be great, when it comes to it, actually, you don't want to just fuck it up. Like you don't want to. So I think it will help being together.
If I'm honest, that is probably the one bit of the whole sort of competing cycle that I'm most worried about is post show. I would say, I think the prep itself, the journey is, you know, I can understand it and the competing side of it. But post show, like, I think you know, you'll be a testament to this. Your last post show you struggled with, didn't you? Like the rules that you have to put in place for prep, it's evidently quite hard to break them going back to normality. And I think in the past, I'm probably not the best at showing empathy. Like if someone's saying, well, I've got this, I just think suck it up and crack on. But it can be quite difficult post-show. And I think that's the one thing that I think having good support network around you is key, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't think enough people speak about it, in all honesty.
What did you struggle with post-show, Jess?
I got myself into some, some bad habits, let's say that. Nothing like, nothing horrific or anything like that, but just like meal time, like strict meal times. I had a really bad habit of trying to push my first meal out as late as possible. Like, what were some of the things I used to do? Like, I found it hard to introduce new foods. So I was on a meal plan that works for me brilliantly in prep. And I was so excited to go onto macros from off season, which I am on now, but I still eat the same foods. I am a creature of habit, and I will find a meal that I like and I know the macros of, and I will have that every day. I'm trying to think of some of the bad habits.
I think it was just like the rituals, wasn't it? You obviously have
like steps. I would never. I mean, I know that's good in off season. You should still keep those, but it would be like, no, I need to go and do this. It would be like 10 o'clock at night, and I would like beat myself up that I hadn't hit 10,000 steps.
I actually remember you talking about that post show, and you were saying that one of the big things for you was something that would be so simple for other people, but if you didn't hit your step target by like 1,000 one day, that you weren't then going to be like, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I can get that, because all the things you were just explaining about being bad habits there, you just explained everything that I do. And I don't consider them bad habits.
But for me, I was like, I would check in with Cal and he would bump my food up and I would be terrified. I'm terrified to add that extra saurine loaf into my daily diet. Like, I knew I needed to gain weight, but the rate that it was gaining was scary. And my basically my health markers weren't in
in range
at all, to the point where I it took a long time for me to get my menstrual cycle back. And that was one of the deciding factors with if I was allowed to compete next year. You know, Cal had said to me, we can't just get them back. You need to have them, you need to have your cycle back and to have your cycle for, you know, a substantial amount of time before it goes again when we prep again. So yeah, it was just, I knew in my head that I needed to get rid of these bad habits to fix my health, basically.
That was a big eye opener for me, because she's a savage with everything that she does. And I thought to myself, well, if she can't even flip this back and get it back to this because it's so hard post show, then Jesus, it must be quite hard. Do you know what I mean? You've got these solid rules that you have to follow to get in the condition and the shape that she's got into, to then, you know, switch it back and go into a productive off season and get your health back. I remember thinking, you know, it's quite scary, isn't it?
And you didn't understand why I was still using skinny foods. You'd be like, why are you just not having normal sources? I'm like, because it's just wasted calories. Yeah, like, I still have skinny food now. I actually really like it.
Those skinny food sources, they're not my
favorite. Unpopular opinion, I rate them.
I rate them too. And for me,
yeah,
it would be the same as going into a restaurant and having a full fat Coke. Like, why would you do it?
Yeah.
It's unnecessary. And personally, you end up preferring the diet version because that's just what you've had for such a long time. But I can see exactly what you're saying, and funnily enough, I can to some extent understand how you're looking as an outsider in some respects, in being like, god, that if Jess smashes everything and she's struggling with this, it must be hard.
Yeah, for sure.
And do you, I mean, you said earlier on that you kind of, that's one thing that you do worry about.
The post-show side of it is the only thing that I'm worried about, I would say. Purely for that reason, like I said, I'm not the best at showing empathy. Like if someone says, oh, you know, I'm feeling a bit too tired, I can't do this, I just think suck it up and get on with it. Or, you know, if someone's not giving 100% effort, but it's almost like, it seems like, to switch out of that show mode into off season or into health mode. So I doubt I'll probably go into another huge off season. I'll probably maintain at a healthy weight post show. To switch back to that, it seems like you have to give like 200% effort. It seems like it was almost double that of prep. Do you know what I mean? So that was the scary thing, having not gone through it, but then obviously seeing yourself struggle with it, you know.
A lot of people do say it, and I believe it. I don't know what you'll say, Hannah, is post show is I think it's harder than prep.
Yeah.
Because especially you're reversing like an absolute boss. You are hungry. And I bet you have so many people saying, yeah, well, you're not competing, just eat. Like, no, because I will, like, well, obviously Hannah's literally the reverse queen. But you've learnt that.
And do you know what? I initially got a lot of shit for it. I got a lot more last year. And with every year that you do it, I do think it gets easier. But I think the key for me was trying to explain to people, I don't care about gaining weight. That isn't the problem for me. The problem for me is if I eat like a twat and I gain a lot of body fat, one, I feel horrendous. Mm-hmm. Two, my calories, I really struggle to get them up in off season. So it's short-term pain for a long-term gain. I would rather long-term be able to eat better and more every day than for the first few weeks post-show, smash out loads of off-plan food, because that's only temporary happiness.
Yeah.
I saw your, we saw your post about eating at Christmas and being full the next day. I was like, preach. Because when I eat food that's off my plan, you know, if you have a dirty meal or you go out and you fill your face with stuff that's not normally on your plan, the next day my appetite is zero.
Yeah.
And it is so, like, people are like, why do you eat the same thing every day? It's like, well, I have to eat this because I can actually get it in.
Yeah.
It digests very, very well. That's why I can get a number of those meals in. So Christmas, I guess, was like, it's one of those things, one of those spanners that are just throwing the works. It's nice to see family. It's nice to relax. It's nice to eat food, but it is very difficult, I find, to get back onto okay, this is my meal plan now. I've got 5 meals. They're all this amount of calories. Like, yeah. Go.
This, I mean, the 28th of December, this is the first day I've been hungry since Christmas. Like, and I didn't even go in. I had my Christmas dinner and I had a pudding and that was... Mm. That was it.
So, how many bodybuilders on Instagram at the minute are saying that they've dropped 5 or 6 pounds over Christmas?
Mm.
And I'm never be one of those people. Like, but that's for those people that whose food is normally really high. Well, actually, family underrate at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, talking of Christmas, if we fast forward, we've got a little bit of a background to where you guys have been and how you got to this point now. And obviously, you have both been in this off-season period for quite a while. So, how was Christmas this year versus previous years when you'd come off the back of a dieting phase?
I think I've learned that, you know, I haven't overindulged, whereas previously I would have, because it gets bigged up to be this day that's the be all and end all, and it's the only day you can eat at College Street, and it's the only day you can have chocolate for breakfast. That was, now I've actually got into the situation where I can go and get a chocolate bar if I want one at any day. So it's, I'll take it or leave it. Like, I had just what I wanted at dinner. Yeah, we had brownies for dessert and I was ridiculously full, but I didn't overindulge, whereas I definitely have previous years.
Yeah, for me, the last time I was lean was the end of 2018. And off the back of that, I was lean during Christmas, off the back of that, I then went into a growing phase, which I was super excited for. So I was meticulous, but I'm probably the most relaxed person about eating at the moment. It's like, I have a job where it cannot be the exact same structure every day. Mm. So I'm fairly relaxed around eating anyway. So for me, it's been just another day. Like, I just eat what I want at Christmas. And then try my best to get back into normal eating habits as soon as possible, which is looking like it's going to be tomorrow, because I played 18 holes of golf today. And that was 4 hours out of my day. So yeah, I'm quite relaxed anyway about eating.
And how are your families at Christmas around the food? And do they kind of, I know that, to put it in perspective, I talk about my mum a lot.
You're savage, you are. She's laughing because my family go in at Christmas.
Oh, right, okay.
She looked at me and started smiling. Yeah, my family go in at Christmas anyway, so it's okay.
So, like, my mum will sit there and she'll be like, I'll like look up and she's looking at me like, is it good? Because like, they love to see me eat because they don't get to see it often.
Yeah.
Do you find a similar thing with your families?
Well, actually, I told my mum off that we were all sat eating dessert and my brother had his, and then he decided to go. He got up off the table and then went to the toilet, and then we looked into the other room and he was asleep. So I was like, well, I'm going to finish his brownie then. And my mum said to me, what's she saying now?
You've had enough.
Yes, you've had enough. And
no.
My mum is not like that. I don't know why she said that. And I literally turned around and said, excuse me, don't tell me when to stop eating. And she didn't say anything, but I was just like, and then after I called her up on it, I was like, Mom, that was really bad that you said to me, like, to stop eating. Like, but she was like, well, I know you'll just be full and then you'll feel sick. Like, I remember it's happened in prep before. Do you remember? I think it happened in prep a few years ago. And Jack, I was eating something, it was my cousin's birthday, and I was having a little bit of cheesecake. And I remember saying, it's fine, I'll add on some extra cardio. This was in my first year, I think, of competing. And I had a bit of cheesecake and it was so good. And I had another forkful, and Jack took the fork off me.
Mm.
And I went mad at him. Yeah. I was like, do not take the fork out of my hand. Yeah.
The goal was bigger than that one fork.
So. He was like, Jess, you don't want to eat that.
Yeah.
So that,
damage limitation.
Yeah, that's what was good about it. And there's me like trying to justify it by saying I'll do an extra 10 minutes cardio. Like, that's so naughty. That was first year. I wouldn't have done that.
10 minutes for a bit of cheesecake, if only, eh?
I used to call myself a naughty bikini girl because my first year, I think, because I was just like pick at things and be like, it's fine, I'll do 10 minutes extra cardio.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the worst routine to get into.
The first year was completely different in the sense that I've never seen someone that lean. I remember when you stepped on the UK DFBA stage and everyone's face just like, Oh my God.
I don't know if you see, have you seen those pictures, Hannah?
I don't think I've seen UK.
Oh my God, I stuck out like a sore thumb.
I mean, you do get shredded.
Yeah, it's really annoying actually. But yeah.
I mean, she got shredded last year, but the year before it was like, okay, you dieted up until that show. Like the glutes were just completely striated in the when you were sort of pumping up backstage.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Yeah. It was completely different, wasn't it? Mind you.
So we took a little side path there.
Yeah.
Back to Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, we can take this. It's your diary. We can take it wherever you want to take it.
For now, your family's
super chilled.
Yeah, they are chilled around eating. My mom just always says, like, after I've competed, she likes going for like a brunch because that was the thing we always used to do.
Mm.
So yeah,
it's quite nice to be able to give back to them after you've had a dieting phase, isn't it, to be able to because I think genuinely that, and Jack, you might feel like this watching Jess after her shows and everything, that you get more out of it than probably she does, because it's like we don't get to see ourselves enjoy the food, but you get to quite literally watch someone go through orgasmic moments as they eat that bit of pick and mix. Yeah. You two and your pick and mix and your sweet drawers.
No. The pick and mix is all her. I have the worst sweet tooth going.
Didn't you tuck into a box of Quality Street or something tonight for pudding?
Yeah, quality chocolate, not sweets though. Yeah. No, but it is really interesting to like observe preps, like not even just Jess, like other people as well on Instagram. Like one of my best friends and my training partner Matt, I watched him go through his entire prep as well and get completely shredded, and it's so interesting, like when you get like a refeed or a feed up, it's like heaven, isn't it? It's like the exact same food that you're eating but more of it, and you can see someone's mood just instantly lift. So I'm quite looking forward to that myself.
Yeah.
But I understand you have to get in the absolute gutter to warrant that. So yeah.
I remember that feeling when Cal would say extra squares bar, and if someone said that to me now, I'd be like, I'm all right, thanks. I used to be like, oh man, I used to drizzle on my raspberry sugar-free syrup on it, and it's ridiculous, isn't it, how obsessed you get with things like that.
It is euphoric though when you've been, like you say, in the gutter, and then someone gives you that, and when you don't expect it as well.
Oh, double whammy.
Yeah, when you're just checking in as normal and you're thinking, I'm going to take food. And they go refeed and you're like, what is going on? How much? Let me in that kitchen.
Yeah, literally.
There's so much sports psychology that comes into it, because Matt and Jess would often get told they were getting a refeed in the morning or whilst he was training. Sometimes Matt would check in with Cal before training sessions. Cal would WhatsApp him and say, you know, we've got enough fat off here. You're looking a bit flat. Let's have a refeed. It's like instant change in mood, instant energy bump in the session, even though every other variable is the exact same. The intro drink you've had, the pre-workout meal that you've had has not changed from from day to day.
It's all psychological, that bit,
isn't
it?
It is, big time, for sure.
I always kind of liken it to, sounds a bit savage, training a dog.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, like, you've done well in your prep, you've got really, really shredded, and then you're rewarded with a refeed. And post-show with the reverse, you check in, you maybe have gained a small bit of weight, or you've lost weight, or you've maintained, and then they go, okay, more food. And it's like someone going, you've done well, here's your reward.
Yeah, a bit positive reinforcement.
Yeah. And it, whatever way you want to think about it, like, people outside of our industry would say that that's effed up and and a bit like you need to talk to someone. But it is reality, isn't it? You follow the rules, you get a reward.
Yeah, 100%.
So then, looking forward into the new year, are you talking about plans or are you keeping it on the down low?
I'm quite happy to talk about mine. So I have eyed up and would, after going and watching it last year, really want to step on that Arnold stage.
Sick.
So I am planning on doing the regional before that, which I believe is the 11th, with the aim to then qualify and step on the Arnold stage. I would like to throw another show in there somewhere, but if it did happen, it would probably be after Arnold's, because Arnold's is my main focus.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little European trip after that.
Yeah, I would love that. You know, it was actually, albeit very stressful at times, going away to Alicante was actually pretty amazing experience. That stage is incredible, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I have no idea. I think I'd be, my aim is to do one show, but mm-hmm. I know once I'm lean and once I've done one, that it's not going to be the case that I just do that one.
Yeah.
So I'll have to give myself a bit of leeway, whether it's PCA or whether it's Two Bros, I'm not too sure. The PCA stage always looks quite fun because you get like a big crowd, hopefully, mm-hmm. COVID pending, and also a load of competitors.
Yeah.
But Two Bros seems like it's like where the prestige is at. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if you get that same vibe, having competed in both.
I think that we create that, we put it up on the pedestal ourselves.
Mm.
I don't think the pedestal is there, but I hold my hands up and say that I was like, oh my God, I could never step on a Two Bros stage. Mm. I was like, those girls are insane. Did the same with the Europeans this year. I could never. Oh my God, no way. And then you do it and you're like, it's exactly the same people that are at every other show. Like, it's I'm literally in the same lineup in a different order. So I think we're guilty of putting something up in an ivory tower when I don't actually think it's any different. PCA and Two Bros, one of the shows, I think half the girls were the same on the.
I love PCA, and I actually think my physique is probably better suited to PCA, but I want to do Two Bros. It's like, and it is because I don't really know. I would, if I did another show, potentially I would throw PCA in there. Like I said, especially if I did it after the Arnold, I can get my body a little bit more shredded to suit the PCA. Cause they like that harder look, which is what my body does anyway.
You say that. I've seen some soft girls win at PCA.
Very true.
I think, again, we have decided in the industry that PCA like hard and dry. And actually, do they? You know?
Mm.
So, Jack, you're thinking about one show, but...
Yeah, it'll be more than one.
Probably, yeah.
Can't get that lean and just do one show.
No, yeah. My biggest fear, if I'm completely honest, is the size. Like, I don't know what I look like completely dieted down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm far heavier, far stronger, so there's definitely tissue there. But it's almost like paralysis by analysis. Think, well, my arms could have another inch here. You know, maybe my chest needs to be slightly bigger, blah, blah, blah. So I just need to get over that and just knuckle down and just accept I look like what I look like, completely peeled.
Just do it, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, you're comparing yourself standing alone in a check-in picture or in the mirror. Yeah. And the look that you will bring will be very dependent on who is around you.
Mm.
So you're critiquing yourself, and who knows, you could get on that stage and be the biggest one in your category.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
You have no idea. And also, someone could be bigger, but actually the quality of muscle that they bring could be shit.
Mm.
Mm.
There's so many different things that to consider when it comes to that comparison that you're making. Mm. One thing I would say is don't almost talk yourself down.
Yeah, I think that's what you try and do as well. You try and find an excuse not to.
Mm.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It's a science, isn't it? Like you say, you are stronger, you're visibly bigger, you weigh more, therefore you've put on muscle, so you'll be bigger. That's just science.
Yeah.
That's what we like, isn't it? That's, we like this structure and going, yeah, 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm. I think it's because I'm so invested in it that you don't want to do bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, take that cycle, for example. I'm not a cyclist. I was about 4 or 5 stone heavier than the next heaviest person. I was never supposed to do well at it. Didn't do too well, but I did cycle the length for the country.
You did it.
So in that sense, it was a very easy decision. But because I'm so invested in this, and we've got such a a siloed friendship group that are in this industry. Do you know what I mean? I think that's why it's harder to pull the trigger.
Define doing badly.
Looking bad on stage, I guess.
And what does that look like to you?
To me, it would be probably much smaller or much softer. I won't come in soft because I think I'm very similar to you in the sense that I would get lean. But yeah, it would just be the size thing.
So I'm just going to chuck this out there. You're not the judge. So it doesn't really matter what you think in some respects because you're not placing yourself. So doing badly, well, I'll give you an example. This year, I got the same placing in two shows, but one, there were like five girls. The other one, there was 17 or 20 girls. So you could say on paper that I got a good result, but actually one of them in my eyes was bad. The other one was good.
Because of it, yeah, it's the situation and everything around it.
But what, it doesn't really matter what you deem to be good and bad, because at the end of the day, you're taking that judgment out of your hands and you're saying to these five or six strangers, judge me.
Yeah, I guess that is probably the hardest thing of bodybuilding. It is so subjective. It's not one and zero. It's not win or loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's very subjective.
And not to be like cheesy, but
I mean, even that we saw that. No.
Sorry,
Karen. No, sorry. There was a bit of a lag. You, Karen.
I was just gonna say, not to be cheesy, but like even making it to stage in itself is a win, isn't it? Let's be honest.
For sure.
Yeah. So many people drop out in the first bloody 2 weeks of a prep, let alone being 2 months in.
I think you've just been trying to talk yourself out of it, but I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised. You'll be so proud of yourself when it comes to it.
Yeah, I will kick myself if I don't get on the stage.
I'll kick you.
There is no if. It's getting done. It's been said now. It's out there into the ether.
Yeah.
It's in the ether.
Yeah.
Better holler, Cal. Say, big man, you ready to finish the job?
So there are a couple of questions I ask everyone that come on the podcast, and because you two are fans, then you will know. And I say that hand on heart, knowing your fans, because I've had pictures from the car when Jack's been at work, like, I'm listening. So obviously you two are both bodybuilders, competitors. You are a couple that like to do the sport at the same time. I'm not going to say do it together.
That's a very, very accurate observation. Yeah.
You like to do the same thing at the same time, in the same place, but not together.
Together, yeah. Spot on.
Obviously, you both have your careers. We won't go into details about who you work for and things, but you've both been very successful. And yeah, you've been in this sport for a long time. You know a lot of people. But how would you like to be remembered?
I think for me, it would be that Jack was a high performer across a number of things, not just bodybuilding. Like, I take pride in a number of things, whether that be supportive to family and to Jess, whether that be in a career, whether that be in bodybuilding, whether that be in whatever else that I do. I just want to be remembered as someone that was, you know, a high achiever, someone that gave 100% and was successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to me, for sure.
I think I would like to remember it as someone that was a pleasure to meet and a pleasure to be around. I would like to think that everyone that I've met, whether it be at work, at a show, at I don't know, anywhere that I would meet someone new, I would like them to say, "Oh yeah, Jess, she was lovely. She helped me with this," or "she helped me backstage put my bikini on." I think this sport can get a really wrong perception of, you know, girls being bitchy. And I have honestly, hand on heart, never had anything but positive experiences. And I will preach that to people. And I would like to be a part of that for when, you know, if anyone mentions my name in any situation, that people have positive positive things to say. I really care a lot about opinions of others. Mm. Always have. sometimes it's a negative. So yeah, just have always had, been known as a nice girl that's a pleasure to be around, fun, you know, doesn't take herself too seriously.
But is a savage at the same time.
But get shit done.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a very valid point. There's a lot of people that you see them either grow a following or be really successful, and they sort of close themselves off from being a nice person or being as forthcoming as they were before. Mm. So that's a really good point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would like to think I'm, and that people also think I am exactly the same person I was when I prepped in 2019, the first time, completely alone, knew no one, to now when, you know, I will say hello to anyone. I might look like I don't want to say hello to anyone, especially at a gym when I have naturally have quite a bit of a resting bitch face, but anyone that actually speaks to me will tell you that at a gym that I am happy to speak. My face just doesn't quite look like I am. But yeah, that was probably for me.
From what I know of you both, I would say that you are both very nice people. And anyone that I've said kind of in passing about either of you two, they were, oh, God, they're so nice, aren't they? And I'm like, yeah, they're bloody lush. But also, I do think that you are both high performers. So I think it could cross over for either of you. Mm. I remember when I saw that you were doing that cycle, Jack, and I was like, is he all right?
Like, yeah, genuinely concerned for him.
Yeah, that was mad.
Mental.
But can I just say, we did raise nearly 40 grand for charity. So
wow,
it was a bigger cause, something bigger than oneself. I think it's always important to go for. And so, yeah, it was a good feeling at the end, albeit ridiculous.
So there you go. It just proves that it just crosses over both being high performers and nice people. So I think that's a very good thing to be remembered for. And also, looking back over everything from being in school, running around, whatever it may be, all the way to now, both independently and as a pair, is there anything that you think, if I could go back, I would have done this differently?
For me, I wished I'd got into this sport a little bit earlier. Not really early, because I had the best time at uni. I was a completely different person when I was at uni. Like, I was part of the netball team, out drinking every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. But I wished, I started the sport in 2019 was my first show. And I'm 29 next year, yeah, so in August. And I just wish that I had a good few more years left. And I know I can, but, you know, there's a point where we want to, you know, get married and have children.
Get another cat.
No more. We just have our Tiggy and he's enough. Our baby. Add to the family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I obviously have a timeline in the back of my head, which doesn't leave me much longer, let's just say that. So I just wish I'd have started a few years earlier, to be fair.
I think for me, and it can be bodybuilding related, but I wish I had more of a focus on self-development earlier. So at the minute, I've got so many books I read, but forget the books for now. I've been so deep into podcasts, audiobooks, looking for good source of information for the last few years, and it's paid dividends in everything that I've done. And I wish that I had this sort of mentality years prior, and whether that be good source of information around health, fitness, physique building, or even stuff like mindset, career, whatever it might be, I think I would be in a much, I wouldn't say better position, because I'm in a pretty good position as is, but I'd be further along. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the podcast that you're doing and the podcast that you post in your story and audio books, you're putting out good source of information. People listen to it, they get inspired, they take some knowledge away from it, and they implement it. I just wish that I had that same mindset maybe when I was 25 rather than just turning 30, because it is having such a big impact. I think, I had a podcast in the past myself, and I think I was guilty of just putting the podcast episodes out and never really had an understanding of what impact it might have on someone. Maybe you have the same. I know you do get a lot of messages, which is obviously good to hear. But whether it's written format or audio format, if you're absorbing content that is good and implementing it, it's going to have a massive impact. So yeah, that'd be the biggest one for me. Mm. More of a focus on self-development earlier.
I don't think we're always aware of the impact of listening to someone's life story, or like someone talking about business, or someone talking about an experience that they had, whether it be sporting or a career or a personal goal, or even if it was something really bad that happened to someone. When you take yourself out of everyday life and just close off to that and listen for half an hour or an hour, you really reflect on things that you've maybe pushed to one side and you've internalized, and you come out of it. And like you say, you just feel a little, every time you do that, you feel a bit more in touch with yourself. You feel a bit more aware. And yeah, like I do get a lot of messages from people, and a lot of them are just like, oh my God, love that episode. But then every now and again, you get one that someone's like, do you know what? I felt really shit, and I thought I was the only one that felt like that. Recently, Hayder speaking about his struggles, even pre-pro and post-pro.
Yeah.
Mm.
He said the amount of people that were like, I thought you were a bit of an arsehole. And actually, I'm like, you're a really nice guy. So I think, yeah, that self-development, I don't think people realize how impactful it can be.
No, I agree. I think a lot of people look at it as in like they're in school. Like you might read a book, you're learning information, you're going to be tested on it, but it's actually the complete opposite. It is the awareness. You'll read something and you'll take it in, you think, wow, that's really interesting. Maybe you go to sleep, maybe you wake up and you're out and about and something will happen, whether it's an experience at work or experience in a social event or something. And you just remember like, oh, in that situation, I acted like this. Maybe this is the better way to act. Mm. And you're like, okay, this shit actually works. So it's, you know, it's definitely not like a memory game. It is stuff that is massively implementable. It's a hard word to say. And podcasts are probably one of the best things for that because they're so honest.
Mm.
Can't bullshit for an hour.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They are very honest forms of content, and I think that's why so many people love them.
Mm-hmm. Mm, absolutely. You also kind of feel like you're part of a conversation, like you, without having to partake in it, which can be quite nice, especially if you're lonely. A lot of people, they don't have a lot of people to talk to if they live on their own, especially through the pandemic. And having podcasts to listen to, for me, living on my own, I had an hour of being part of a conversation that I wouldn't have been part of otherwise, which I found quite helpful when you've not uttered a word to anyone for several hours. And one more question that I just wanted to add on to the end of this, as we are on hashtag couple goals podcast. Obviously a lot of people, as we see, are loved up 1 minute and then they're broken up the next. And I do think that bodybuilding relationships are really, really hard, like for various reasons. But it's not often that you see a couple not just like make it through, but like thrive in the relationship. So what would your advice be to people that are in either prep scenarios, off-season scenarios, with their lifestyle, whatever it may be, those sorts of little things that you mentioned earlier, eating different meals, like that can break some people because they're like, oh my God, I just want to eat a lasagna with you, Dave. Like, come on. Like, but it's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
It can break people. So what would your advice be to people that are trying to find the balance?
I'd say it's all about compromise, wouldn't you? Like you've got to give and you've got to give here and take there. And for example, like we will normally sit and have the same meal, which is normally our off plan meal on a Friday, which is, you know, it's normally a Chinese or fish and chips. It's some kind of takeaway. And that's our Friday night, and we sit and we have dinner together, but it's different meals for us. It doesn't matter what we're eating, does it? But
no.
For advice, I would say it's all about compromise.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I think it can be an isolating sport, and I think it is quite easy to be selfish. But what I would say is, if you fully back and support the other person, it doesn't detract from what you're doing. Mm. And I think we're in a situation where we are quite good at this, where whenever one of us is going for something, whether it be you're competing, I'll be competing next year, whether I'm doing this damn cycle or whether it's like work related, we do fully back each other, like 100%, always encouraging. And I think just have the other person's sort of best interest. But I think that all comes with finding the right person. So, you know, it sounds very corny, but she is my human. So it's quite easy for that. It's quite easy for me to do that.
Can I get that in writing?
Yeah. I mean, you've got the ring, babe. I think that is your writing.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, I literally do not give a flying F about over-posting Jess, or, you know, if she's killing it in a competition. And it's not me trying to like boast about it. It's just support. Do you know what I mean? Just wholeheartedly.
You would if it was your brother or your mom doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And Jess, you'll be able to do that for Jack soon.
I actually can't wait. Like, I found a new absolute love for cycling whilst he was doing his training. So I was like, let's go on a cycle. Come on. To the point where.
She's better.
He banned me from going cycling with him because he says that said that I'd leave him behind.
It is very typical of you to just pick something up and be better at it and then be like, do you want to do this? I'm like, you're ruining this for me.
He actually said that I ruined cycling for him. But I'm obviously a lot lighter, so it's easy for me to get myself up the hills. But yeah, I wasn't allowed to cycle with him after that. But yeah, like, I fully backed him for that, so I would get out and go on cycles with him when I was allowed. And then, you know, your routine, sometimes you have meetings till God knows what time at night. So I do not mind doing his dinner. In fact, I kind of cook it. I love cooking. So I will, you know, put my laptop on, catch up on some kind of TV on my laptop and cook and do your meals for you. I know there's some people, you know, in the industry that, you know, don't believe in cooking your partner's meals, whatever, but it works. Yeah, I just think it's supporting them. And as Jack said, I guess if you wholeheartedly support what they're doing and you back them 100%, then it's not really a task, or it's not really an effort, because you want them to succeed.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say with your question, if there was someone in a bodybuilding couple and it wasn't working, my question would be, well, why is bodybuilding the root cause of that? I don't think bodybuilding does put any insurmountable amount of pressure on a relationship, as long as you don't let it. That's, you know, going back to what we said at the start, the first prep was a bit of a okay, but you learn to back your other person and think, okay, I can get through it.
I think that speaks volumes about you as a person though, Jack, because there are a lot of people that would go, do you know what, this is too much, like, oh, I want to support you, but your goal and your tunnel vision is making me unhappy. So for you to be able to step back and go, it's temporary and I want the best for her, it says a lot about you as a person.
I think it's probably more about what I find attractive. You want to be with someone that's driven. You don't want to be with someone that's lazy. So I think that is a very good quality to look for in someone. So
even though you much prefer me in an off season.
Yeah. I mean, looks wise, I'll be completely honest. Off season is insane.
Yeah,
lean glutes is not so insane. from like a.
Trust me, I feel you on that. Yeah. No one likes feeling like a feral child, do they?
No, no. I liken it to a small boy. Like, it's just it feels so good right now. People are like, you look insane, and you're like, so do small children. Like, like, come on, it's uncomfortable. It doesn't look great, and I also think like. It must be quite hard on the other person to see your human, like, tired and looking drained and quite literally sometimes having to pick them up and prop them back up again.
Extra emotional, like, you know, you're just cry because I've eaten my last meal and I'm still hungry.
Mm.
Yeah, you are so fragile. That was the biggest shock, I think, of the first one. It was like, you do really have to dig deep, and it does really send you for 10.
Especially looking at, like you said, about Jess being so, like, such a savage, being so strong about it, to then see someone a bit broken, you're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Like, how bad must you feel?
For sure.
Oh, the joys, get to do it all over again.
Yeah, we want to do it again together.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're going to do a savage photo shoot after as well.
I think so.
That'd be cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for being my first couples on the podcast.
Massively, I couldn't believe we got the invite. Like I said, it was like receiving an MBE from the Queen. I was like, what's Buster? Come on, we love that podcast.
Such a brown nose.
I know, mate. We absolutely love it. So thank you for inviting us. You're a savage, mate.
No, yeah, it's been very, very cool. And an excuse to get to talk to you for like an hour. So
yeah, exactly.
That for me.
Rarity.
And if anyone isn't following you and they want to know where they can find you, where can they hit you up?
Instagram. My Instagram handle is @JessGarrington. Simple.
Yeah, and my Instagram handle is @JackMacDonald_UK. I'm not the best at posting, purely because I just crack on and forget. Okay, then maybe I need to film and sort of build an audience, but I'll try and post more and more, being as I'm actually pretty strong now. And
obviously you'll be prepping next year.
I aim to prep next year, yeah.
It'd be cool to see some more training. And Jess, we spoke a little while ago about you putting up training videos, and like, it's so inspiring to see. So yeah, get some more training footage up, and I'm looking forward to watching both of you in your next preps.
And you?
Oh, I'm well off. I'm like 2023.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to eating for a year.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, you can be there to cheer us on then.
I'll be hyping in the crowd.
I'll send you a text in 9 months' time when I'm starving. I'm like, how are those 4,000 calories treating your hand?
Yeah. 4,000.
What is it?
Like last off season, I managed to work up to 1,900 calories. 1,900. And I was 60 kilos. My stage weight was 44. That's why I have to be so careful post show.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And now I'm on 1,900 calories and I'm 48 and a half.
And your appetite's flying.
Yeah, it's doing well.
It's a good feeling, like, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Jack, if I get to the 4,000, I'll be texting you.
Can you imagine?
I'll be like, it's happened. Oh. I won't hold my breath for the 4. I'd be happy with 2.5. But yes, thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to speaking to you both soon.
Thanks for having us.